Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas, even if your ideas totally suck. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. That means it's all motherfucking day long. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. You should. Hey, everybody. Have you checked out Hal? Okay, if you haven't checked out Hal and you're a podcast listener, what are you waiting for? This is the future of podcasting. It's kind of like a Netflix for podcasts. So head on over to hal.fm to sign up for free to get a
1 month
subscription just using the promo code
HDTGM.
That's
HDTGM.
At checkout, okay? That's all you have to do. But you have to go to hal.fm to sign up for it. You just can't download the app, okay? And you can listen to original shows. You got the Reunion. Is that it? The Reunion. Yeah, the Reunion of Super Ego. We have special shows from our favorite guests like OMFG and The Canon. They're doing cool shows. Plus, you get, oh my gosh, this is so good, 60 comedy albums from people like Amy Schumer, Nick Kroll, Aziz Ansari, Paul F. Tompkins. You get audio documentaries, you got mini series. Why don't you just explore it for yourself? One of my favorite shows there is a hardcore history parody all about Game of Thrones. Talk about meta. I mean, we have every Marc Maron episode logged. It's in there. Every WTF you can get. Here's the deal. You get all of this, everything I described. Exclusive content on your phone, your Android, and the web for only
$4.99
a month. If you like it, it's only
$4.99
a month. That means that you'll never stop listening to podcasts with the promo code
HDTGM.
Or
HDTGM.
Yeah.
Let's
say
HDTGM.
I'm reading different copy here.
HDTGM
is the one you should use. Go to HAL.fm. That's HAL.fM. Use the promo code
HDTGM
for your free trial. Guys, ladies, what's stopping you? It's a
1 month
free trial. Hey, everybody. If you want to come see us live at Largo, we're doing another show in March. That's right. In March, we'll be live at Largo again. Go to largola.com, check out the dates and times, and we are going live. June will only be at that first show, unfortunately. The second show will be a very special How Did This Get Made guest and a guest. So check us out at Largo in March. We'd love to see you. If the finale of Staying Alive fucked Zardoz while Xanadu watched, you would get this movie. We saw the apple, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they calling in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid, they judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome, people of Largo. Thank you. We are very excited to be here tonight with this amazing audience here at Largo, our LA home, to talk about one of the most important movie musicals of all time. Let's bring out our co-host right now. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Please welcome June. How are you, June?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
And now welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
Flat Ronnie in the house! Flat Ronnie will be joining us tonight. He'll be performing security. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome our very special guest, Mr. Andy Richter.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go now.
Thank
you
very
much. Can I ask
you
guys a question? Who fucking gave you guys BIM marks? Look
wow.
at all you dummies.
I did not see this.
You didn't notice BIM marks?
I didn't notice
how
it until right now.
Wow.
I never look at the audience. This is amazing.
How could you not see them?
Yeah. I'm normally on the sidelines looking for chesty ladies. All I see is shiny foreheads. What's going on, nerds?
Most of our audience is in BIM marks.
Okay, who did we give you these? No.
No.
Who
no.
made the BIM marks?
Who is responsible?
Yeah, back there.
Maybe there was a
stand
a
up and take
a sponsorship by the same prismatic tape company that was behind this movie. This
well done, nerds. Well done.
Amazing. We'll definitely talk to the BIM mark makers. If you don't know what we're talking about, good luck.
Yeah, I love what people are like. I hate when they talk visual stuff on the podcast.
This movie, well, logic be damned.
That's what you all sound like to
but
me.
But no, we were just talking backstage very briefly about this, that I'm so happy to talk about this movie because it is unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it is in that it is an incompetent ripoff of other things. So it's like, it's unique in that it's attempting to ape other things, but it does it not just like badly, but just like in the way that you'd think a squirrel would understand language.
Well, I will say...
It's so strange.
For the first, I want to say 15 minutes of the movie, I thought this was taking place in outer space. Yeah. I really did. I was like, we're in outer space. I don't know quite where, but I thought we were in outer space.
Well, the opening number kind of looks like Cobra Commander and like Destro from G.I. Joe got together and formed like a rock band.
And what's incredible too is that you start out the movie cold into a big production number where all you hear are lyrics that are like hearing things like hit the sound in the phone, hey man, get on my jail, bim on away, bim on away, bim on away. And I had to turn on the fucking captioning.
I did too.
Because I was like, what the fuck are they saying?
I am so happy I turned on the captions for this movie because it's an even crazier read.
I will just for a second just play a little bit of the opening song.
And I would like
taste.
To get back to where June thought this was in space.
Yeah. I will just play just so you can hear what this is, how the movie opens.
And it opens like this for a solid 15 minutes.
So this
is, here's the problem. I kept on hearing there wasn't this thing, there wasn't that thing. I could hear those words. What I could never hear was what there was. That was I always wanted to get what is there though?
Run away.
It's like a generic Meatloaf song, like a deep Meatloaf.
The whole I agree in that the whole movie is a generic Meatloaf song, and I feel like I feel like they were getting close to production, so they told the guy who was writing all the music, just write opening lyrics and one chorus and then abort. We'll just repeat that over and over again.
Then it's revealed that the opening is essentially an American Idol-esque contest.
No, it's the song contest.
That song, Eurovision song contest.
So,
yeah, but now it's, because it's 1994.
Of course.
How do you know it's 1994 in the movie?
Oh,
it's on
JK, they talk about it fucking constantly. At every turn, somebody's like, well, you know it's 1994 right now, the year that we're in.
And by the way, this movie was made in 1980, so they were only like really... throwing it ahead 14 like, years.
A lot happens in 14 years, and none of it's good.
See, I'm still trying to understand this contest and the fact that the audience members' heart rates are tested while the performers are up there. And Mr. Boogaloo...
Boogaloo.
Wait, who?
Boogaloo. I'm sorry.
Who?
Mr. Boogaloo wants to see that the heart rates are going up.
Right.
I can't even follow this train of logic so that...
Let's get into it.
So that he can manage these artists.
He already manages...
Bim.
Bim.
That is the person we just heard singing, Bim.
Of course.
And so he wants Bim to win.
No, Bim is the name of the company.
Yeah, no. This is a different...
Bim is the name of the fucking company. That's why it's even more obtuse. You don't even find out for 20 minutes what the fuck Bim is.
I thought
Bim. And then you have to get it from the initials above the door of their building.
That's so crazy. I thought
Bim was saying,
the band.
It's like saying, IBM is the way.
Yep.
I'll say this much about Bim. The craziest thing about Bim is, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. At one point, at one point, we're in the corporate headquarters of Bim.
Yeah, right. Bim HQ.
And there's a sign that says, like, Arrow Music Department, like, this way. But what other departments are there at Bim?
Let's not forget that there are clowns on staff at Bim.
Yes. Well, no. The waiting room of Bim looks like a Cirque du Soleil break room.
Yes.
There's like sorcerers, the magicians.
But there's a dance scene when they first go to meet with the manager. And there's Ballet 2000, an incredible future group of futuristic dancers. Which, by the way, did you know that the choreography of this was Nigel Lithgow?
Oh, really?
That's Nigel Lithgow from So You Think You Can Dance choreographed all
That's
this.
Wild.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I will say one thing about the choreography. I felt like they had like 15 great dancers, and then the rest were like in the background just doing head bops.
Sure.
Well, basically, they just... picked people from the American High School in Berlin and paid them $25 a day.
Yeah, this movie is shot in Germany.
Yes, yes in Berlin.
Right, where is it supposed to take place?
Outer space.
Cool.
I believe cool. New York. I feel
is
like
it,
it's New York.
It could have been like Mega City or something, you know, like that.
Yeah, it would have been great if Judge Dredd had been there.
Yeah.
There was something with...
Isn't it in Canada?
No, they're from Canada.
Oh.
They're from Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
Right.
From
But then what I couldn't figure out is Alfie, when he doesn't sign in, he goes back to live with his landlord / mother that he feels up.
Okay.
Is he back in Moose Jaw?
Well, hold on.
Where is he there?
Just to give you guys a little bit of context, all you really need to know is that this American Idol show is going. Bim is trying to get their performer to win.
Yes.
And then there's
Mr. Boogaloo.
I think you raised a good point, which is this group that's performing right now.
Yes.
Their name is, I don't know
not
what.
Not Roger
no,
Daltrey.
Well, they're Pandy and Dandy.
I think
is that the name of their band, too? Pandy and Dandy?
Yeah, Pandy and Dandy. Yeah.
Okay. Pandy and Dandy.
But I think what you were saying, Paul, it's confusing this contest because it does seem like Bim already represents them.
He's trying to lock them down.
He's trying to try and win the contest, which he manipulates the contest so that they do win. By playing the red tape.
But now I want to talk about this red tape because he's manipulating contests because then, I have to look at my names here. Then, BB and Alfie come out and they're doing like an old-fashioned folk song that people are really moved by.
People hate it. Right. First people are like, bring back Bim!
Yeah.
I want more Bim!
And then they start to love it because it's like really about emotion.
Because it's a love song.
They remember they're European and they're suckers for bloodless sentimentality.
Oh yeah, right. That's what we appreciate above all. Cuckoo clocks.
So they start singing. They're doing well. He plays the red tape, which causes the audience to riot.
Yes.
My one thought is, we're also excited. My only thought was this. So if they're rioting, their heart rate's going up, right?
One would think.
I would imagine your heart rate is more intense.
Right.
I don't think that's what's being measured. Because you see the clock going down, or the counter rather, because they're losing interest in the act.
I thought it said that's a heartbeat there, monitor.
There was heart rate, but there were other things too. And there was one that was like their enjoyment index.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
I don't know if that was, or something like okay. that. Yeah, there were different levels that, because he sort of.
And how would you measure it?
Well, you know what? We can even hear them discussing
that's what
it right
Fitbit
here.
Is it?
Fitbit, everybody. It's 1994 of them.
Here is them talking about the heart rates.
Boss, we have just scored 150 heartbeats.
It's not beats per minute.
I predict our beam song is going to take this competition by storm. Ashley, prepare some beam merchandise.
Something like BIM t-shirts.
T-shirts? Ashley, use your imagination. This is 1994.
Oh, thank God he told us. Because I had no idea the other 24 times they tell us.
I felt like throughout this whole movie I was watching a James Bond movie with the villain, but no James Bond.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, like, yeah.
He has a major headquarters. But June, I cut you off. You were saying with the heart rate.
I don't remember. But I'm trying to figure out now, even watching the beginning again, what Mr. Boogaloo was trying to do here with these artists. Boogaloo, I'm sorry.
I understand now. I think Boogaloo was trying to get the song to be the national anthem.
No, he's just trying to win. Isn't it basically that song contest that still exists? The Eurovision, the song contest? That is like a thing, right? Isn't that a thing?
No, but whoever
all right,
wins
foreigners,
song,
relax.
They perform it every day because when they're walking around, it's like, well, it will be the national anthem of.
That they exercise too?
Yeah. No, because.
I have a feeling that Menachem Golan's take on this was, you know, he wants to win, and then there's someone else, he wants to beat them, and then the song becomes a national anthem.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think that's about as deep as he probably got into that. It, you know?
It like, was very just, difficult. To figure out why BIM Industries held so much sway as to be able to have a law that people needed to wear BIM marks on their goddamn heads.
It snuck up on everybody. All of a sudden,
now he's basically like a fascistic leader.
Yes.
And has taken over. And I get it. He's the devil? I couldn't quite tell if there was an allegory in this movie.
But you know what? I have to say, it's a weird way. Like, as June pointed out to me, it's an Adam and Eve story, which I didn't really get because the top part...
Wait, what? It's about an apple.
Right, but...
He didn't get
but
it.
But not really.
I'm going to tell you guys, he didn't get it.
What?
I'm sorry, Paul. I feel really badly to say that out loud.
No, you can sell me down.
But he didn't.
Because I think the top part was missing. I feel like there was no, like, that guy who comes at the end, Mr. Tops, like, he should have been at the top of the movie.
You're right,
and be like, hey,
don't eat that apple.
What's up?
To have been a true, like,
he should have bookended it.
He should have been the other manager, like, stay with me and you'll be okay. And then the devil.
Or he could have been the mayor of Moose Jaw.
I will
because
go there.
They're coming from an idol going into the pits of hell.
And it could have been like, go right ahead. You go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Just don't eat that apple.
It's as if you picked up the Bible like 50 pages in. You're like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't see the first part of this. Like,
your understanding of the Bible is flawed.
But Let me just ask you this, Paul. When you saw that gigantic apple, you just thought, oh, it's an apple.
Well, especially that it was being offered by the devil.
At that point, I was not paying attention to the logic. I was enjoying the magistry.
It is very sloppy, though, because there's like, what is it, the devil and death, you know, the sell your soul for stuff, you know.
I felt like thought it was. I thought it was more like he's selling his soul, but I didn't get
one
like...
Un poquito Nazi stuff, you know, all of that thrown in there.
But I feel like no one, like, I wanted to see someone say, like, don't sign with that guy. Then I'd be like, okay, now I get it. Like, I mean, well, I don't know. That sounds dumb as I say it.
He was, okay, the guy was like...
I get he's the devil.
He is like, but he's like not even close to not being the devil. He has horns.
Yeah, got it.
He might as well have cloven hooves for feet. He was a straight up like classic version of a devil, the triangular beard.
But I thought it more of a story about like how the music industry is corrupting artists and music. I thought of it more like that, less of like an Adam and Eve parable.
Honestly, in your defense, I think it was so hit over the head that I think there was a part of you in your mind that was like, well, it can't be this because that's too obvious. And
maybe
I think you were actually looking for something deeper.
You know, maybe you're right, June. I'm too smart for this movie.
Well, and also, you're Hollywood, so
yeah,
you're
I mean, you don't see
past the music business. You don't need to.
No, I'm connecting to art and management and the problems of that.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm in a daily struggle with that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Contracts, the legalese of contracts.
And all that stuff is exactly like life.
I mean...
it's true.
I also am fascinated by movies that take place in the future... when they try to figure out what the future is, like what, and this, it was just bigger. Champagne glasses were bigger. Cameras were bigger.
And
which seems
shiny.
The opposite of how we've all gone.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with the champagne glass that we needed to reinvent?
Listen, that is one area this film does not make one misstep visually.
Yep.
It is a delight for the eyes.
Yep.
Everybody's it's beautiful.
Everything about it is fucking perfect visually.
Yeah. Every all choice, of the metallic fabrics.
Oh,
crazy.
The
everybody's
colors,
wearing like
the,
crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to get into the BIM marks too. The BIM marks are, they're not like drugs or anything. They're just saying that you're you're just followers of...
It's the number of the beast. It's just that dumb.
That's it.
It's that dumb. Yeah, you know, like the number of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Paul,
like,
you should look no further than just the signs and symbols that are in this movie.
I can't believe I'm
really
about
going
to...
deep.
I genuinely can't believe I'm about to say this, but Paul, what do you think was happening?
No, I got... like, I guess I felt like I wanted to see a deeper plan being hatched. Like, I didn't understand what this plan... All right, so it's a devil. He's controlling them, but not really. There's no real plan. Like, he's
but
just...
But that's just sloppy filmmaking that you're seeing there.
Maybe.
When she leaves the apartment and they just go, okay. You know, she's being trapped and she wants to go. And then, you're expecting some sort of... Like, they're laying wait for her somewhere, but no.
No.
She just goes and has babies in the hippie cave.
That's something that never really paid off. It was like, I thought, oh, the devil, he wants to put this on them and then he'll activate the BIM marks and everyone will be like an army. Like, I was expecting more. Like, I was waiting for it to pay off.
And like, you shouldn't just after a couple years be able to just peel it off.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be a little more substantive than that.
I felt like, and I guess this is the point of BIM hour and the BIM marks and all that stuff, is just to show us, by the end of the movie, obviously, but to show us that the devil has won. He has gotten control over everybody except for the fucking hippies. They're fucking playing a flute in the woods, and then Mr. Tops comes down at the end and is like, you guys want to scram with me? And everybody... best as I can tell, commits suicide and walks into
the
sky.
It's
the
hail bop, like
Jonestown shit right here.
But it's like, what was that cult that they all wore sneakers and they went up?
Heaven's Gate. It was the same
thing. Like, he pulled, like, hey, our Lord's going to pull up in the golden Cadillac.
Yep. Yeah.
And we'll all walk into his car.
And that. Alfie was like, he's going to come. He's going to come.
But
and she's like, who's going to come? Mr. Tops. What?
That's what I'm saying.
If like, there's a Deus Ex Machina coming, why has it not been mentioned?
This character has not been mentioned. That's
God is
that
literally in a machine.
Like,
it's a Cadillac.
He's like, this person's coming. I don't know who that means nothing to me.
Tacked on to the end? Like, did they...
I did do a little research right before the show. So this is my... What I'm giving you is my honest opinion. Then I found this. So I will tell you this, that...
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I...
No, not at all. This is...
You ruined the show.
I guess I did. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I will tell you that this is the... Apparently, they shot an opening that was disastrous. It was supposed to take place in Mr. Top's world, heaven. It's called Creation, where he brought Alfie to life. And then... He also sang a song to Boogaloo, and he fell into the stream and disappears. But apparently, when they were shooting it, they had animals and puppets, and a tiger got loose. Elephants got their trunks stuck in set pieces. Aww. People wearing a brontosaurus costume passed out from the heat. And no one could dance, and the cameras couldn't move anywhere because the set was so small. So they cut the entire opening, the biblical opening.
Wow. So a tiger got loose? That's amazing.
So no one has ever seen...
Have you seen the tiger?
Yeah, he said he was going to craft services. Uh-oh. Because he's not there.
The one thing I did like that Mr. Boogaloo enforced was the mandated exercise in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that was nice.
When I saw that, I was like, that's a cool idea. Like, yeah, let's all just like get up and move our bodies
gotta
for 4
do
minutes.
It. Countdown to
no,
BIM
it wasn't 4
hour.
Minutes. It was an hour.
It was 1 hour.
They were dancing like that.
It was 1 hour. And wait, let's
I got to say, even better.
Yeah, except for the fact that firemen stopped fighting fires.
Yes.
Doctors stopped treating patients. Like, people died during BIM hour. Just so that the living could have some calisthenic workout.
Yeah. And they're already wearing Mylar jumpsuits that can't be good to work out in.
Well, I want to show some of BIM hour here. Again, just picture everyone that does everything in your life stopping to dance. So this is the dance break at BIM hour.
Attention, please, good citizens.
It is now 1:01. Time to stop ordinary activities and prepare for the national BIM hour.
All traffic must pull over and stop immediately.
Everybody's so stoked.
Firemen, throw down their hoses.
Join in the national fitness program.
Stop fighting the fire, guys.
Citizens, attention. Counting down to BIM
Old
hour.
People stop eating.
Exercises designed for your health and peace of mind. All citizens must participate.
Attention, citizens. Shut down the machines.
Operator.
Put away your work. Get up and get ready for BIM hour.
10 seconds to BIM hour.
The National Fitness Program is watching you.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Patient is even dancing and then dies. Nuns are not dancing and then, boom, they break out.
Like perfectly choreographed.
Well, perfectly is tough to say in this movie.
But hey, BIM's on the way are the only lyrics to this song, presumably, that lasts for 1 hour. Which, as far as I'm concerned, would make society go insane.
That's true.
Look, I tried to build a website for a long time, right? I tried to learn HTML. I got that book, you know, the Dummies book. And I'm like, oh, how do I do this? And I got on these other complicated platforms. And all of my websites kind of sucked unless I paid someone a lot of money to make something so simple. And then Squarespace came along. It was the messiah of the web world for me. Finally, I could create something simply and effectively and make it look good, and I could bring it around on different devices. And I said to the world, Squarespace doth giveth to me and I doth give it back to you. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to create a website, okay? A website that looks professionally designed, regardless of your skill level. I want you to have intuitive and easy to use tools, and I want you to get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So here's the deal, people. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com, and when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, I love them. I'm not lying to you. I'm on board. And you guys have been too. You've sent me your websites. They look great. So go to Squarespace, because Squarespace, you should. Here's the deal. Taxes. We hate them. They're so hard to figure out. And then you got to pay somebody to come figure them out for you. And you're not sure if you got ripped off or you could have gotten more money back. Whoa, 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 wait. a second. Have you heard about Tax Act? All right, Tax Act is the best deal in tax. Here's the deal. You can file simple federal and state returns free. With Tax Act, you got this, okay? You don't need anyone to help you. It's you and a computer and your mind working together to solve a problem, okay? We're better than monkeys. We can do our own taxes. Monkeys can't, okay? Everything is easy and fast and affordable when you're on Tax Act, okay? You got everything you need to file your taxes for less at Tax Act. It's the best deal in tax. Now, it's easy. They guide you through every step of the way. You can start anywhere. You can finish anytime on your computer, tablet, or phone. You save money and you get your maximum refund guaranteed. So don't pay more for the same forms, the same features, and the same functionality. You got to head over to Tax Act, okay? TaxAct.com. It's the best deal in taxes. Go to TaxAct.com/made and get simple federal and state returns free. TaxAct.com. You got this. Now back to the show.
I do want to just go back to one thing. Again, if that folk singer's, right, the one that he corrupts.
BB is her name.
BB and Alfie.
BB8. Yeah.
If BB and Alfie were so good, why is he trying to create her as like a pop star? Wouldn't he just try to capture her folk music?
I think in some ways he may have felt threatened by her.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, what is that? He's watching them and they're about to beat Tandy and Bandy. Or whatever. And then they do beat them and he's like, they've got talent, they're good, whatever. What is unclear to me is why doesn't he let them sing love songs? Because clearly that works.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like saying like yes. Watching Michael Jordan or, you know, or Stephon Curry. They don't call him Stephon.
You're a big sports guy, right?
Yeah, a huge sports guy.
Huge, very heavy into sports.
Huge. but just be good at basketball and say, oh, now let's let them play like croquet. Like it didn't make sense. Like,
I think too that their songs and their music was so beautiful and such, you know, like
they couldn't.
It's like, you know, God, that's of God, and he must crush that out. So,
it's almost like disco. Yeah. Oh. Disco is like killing society. So more disco.
Yeah, disco is the work of the devil.
Absorb them into the disco
monster.
Like
you can't have the hippie shit out there.
No,
because that makes people think.
Yeah, it makes people feel too good. Like, oh yeah, then all those like trite cliches really are carrying me away.
Well, that's the thing is the devil. Disco is the devil's music, you know. So all of his agents have to be disco singers, and God's people are the hippies. Didn't you think that the hippie with the beard was God?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are like, played by the same guy.
Whoa.
What?
What?
When were you going to share this piece of information? This unlocks everything. We did meet God earlier.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wait.
They are played by the same guy.
Yeah, they are played by the same, but I didn't think... But he's not...
That makes sense.
But he wouldn't know him as Mr. Tops.
That's the Garden of Eden.
That's why he's able to be amongst his people without being Mr. Tops.
And they talk to each other.
Right.
They share the same screen.
That's what I'm saying.
He's like, how about you, hippie dude? Go first. All right. Here I go.
So that is confusing. Yeah, that is definitely confusing.
No, that's like... That was just probably... it was cheaper.
When they cut that first scene, they're like, oh, shit, we got to figure out something justify what this other guy...
We got
to
make this make sense because that's paramount.
I got Mr. Tops for 3 weeks.
I'm worried.
Make him the king of the hippies.
I'm worried this isn't going to add up.
And am I right in saying that both the male leads in this movie, not the devil, but the hunky guys, both look like Roger Daltrey?
Yes.
They both have similarities. And the girl falls victim to him very quickly. Within seconds, he gives her, he drugs her.
Everybody gets Cosby'd. Everybody gets Cosby'd. Like, but it's also like, wait, what do you want me to do? Put this in my mouth? Okay, blah, 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 blah. Oh, what is it? It's a pill? Okay, glug, glug, let's do it. Like, everybody's like, okay. Which I could not for the life of me figure out. Because she's like, they come, BB and Alfie come to the party after losing the contest, and Mr. Boogaloo immediately separates them with Bandy and Tandy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then shit just goes crazy. And why is everybody able to look at Roger Daltrey seduce Bebe?
Yeah.
Right? That was all so like for everybody's...
But then they all laughed.
And then they all laughed at them like, ha ha ha, you got seduced by this guy. Like, pretty easy. Like, you're kind of a slut.
Yeah, yeah. You let him take you right to the peeping spot.
Yeah.
The pre-designated peeping spot that we wait downstairs.
We've watched you be corrupted.
Back up 6 inches.
There's also something here, too, that I just realized. The story was originally set in 1984 because of Orwellian themes, but then Golan decided, oh, that's too close. Let's go to 94. But that kind of loses the Orwellian theme because you don't immediately just think like, oh, all things in four, sure. Like 2004. Yeah, yeah, it's like 84. That's a real shitty way to do it.
Did everybody see Matilda May? Matilda, what was her name from Life Force?
Was Matilda May in this? I thought
she is a dancer in this movie.
I saw her.
You did?
Wait, no, you didn't see Life Force.
No, there's an actress I saw in this movie who is from General Hospital, and also
that's from Staying Alive, Finola Hughes.
Oh, Finola Hughes. Oh, no, who
they
are you
look
talking
similar.
About?
Finola
Wait, am
Hughes.
I wrong?
No, Finola Hughes is in
Finola
this movie.
Finola Hughes is definitely in this movie.
Yeah, I couldn't. I thought it was her, but maybe not. Because it would make sense, because Life Force and this movie are both canon films.
Oh, maybe she was in it. Well, I'll
I'm almost... Somebody... Come on, nerds. You fucking assholes. I thought for sure you guys were going to be on my side on this. I'm now IMDb-ing it.
Is Life Force that movie where like a beautiful woman turns into a killing machine?
Yeah, she's
a
like
tub?
A she. No. That's Species.
Okay, that's
Natasha Hendrich.
Life Force, I haven't seen.
Life Force, you should see. It's pretty much the same idea. It's just a woman from space who's naked the entire movie, sucking the life out of men. Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to talk about the ghetto. And the or that place where they lived, and the woman that was his roommate mother.
So
what was
strange.
Going on there?
That lady, the landlady, is the only person that curses in the movie.
Okay, I'm wrong. She wasn't in it.
Sorry.
God damn it. Sorry. Let's get back to this woman because
she's only credited as Alfie's landlady. She has no
name.
Alfie's landlady.
Well, that's sad for her.
She kind of looked. There was something familiar about her.
Oh, she's Professor Sprout from Harry Potter?
Oh.
Wow.
That's why she looked familiar.
Whoa, I was off all over this movie. I should have known that. That's
Miriam Margolyes.
It was the moment where he grabbed her boobs.
See, I missed that because, you know, I'm sorry, people. I missed him. Groping his landlady. No,
it is a movie.
I'm watching this on a laptop at home in pieces with children running around.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see this movie.
It's also a movie that you check out for at moments. I would say there's a couple moments like, oh, I'm still watching something.
Oh,
like,
fuck yes.
Yeah.
No, there were like, I took a leak in the middle of songs.
Yeah.
Because it's I don't need to see it. Yeah.
Well, there was a couple of times I got confused because I would check out for a second. So I would rewind and be like, oh, I didn't miss anything. This is just a confounding series of scenes.
Well, their relationship, I was like, I thought it was his mother.
Yes.
I didn't think it was his landlady, but then they were like an Airbnb situation because they seem like they're really in the same room. They're not. There's no like upstairs,
no,
downstairs.
Right, right. When she goes to cook, it's just like in a nook. Like an attached nook.
And
it's en suite. Oh, she advertises it as such.
And he's been keeping her awake, writing amazing songs.
Yeah.
And he'll grab her boobs just to goose her a little to not get away with not paying the rent.
You know how it is.
He owes her rent, but he's like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to sell this song. And she's like, I know you're going to sell this song. And then he's like, ha ha, rubba, rubba, rubba. And he like gives her like a real reach around boob massage, which I was into. But also, that's when I was like, what is the relationship here? Where are we? Are we back in Moose Jaw? What's happening?
Well, it also seemed like there were parts of the city, like, that was a very poor, like, it looked like, like a very, co-op city or something like that. It was a very, like, poor area.
It was like a tenement house.
A tenement house.
Together.
But then other parts of the city were very rich. So I didn't know if... But these people are also followers of BIM. Yeah. They didn't seem to get any of that trickle-down economics.
Well, everybody's a follower of BIM by the end, including all these dummies. And that's...
I like to think that that was, like, a very specific direction by Menachem Golan. Like walking through the blocking of it. Yeah. And he goes, and then, you know, like you do with your mom, you grab her boobs.
If anybody...
And everyone goes, no, just do it. Trust me. What do you... You're not a boy.
If anybody hasn't seen it yet, there's an amazing documentary on Netflix about Canon Films.
It's amazing.
The company that made all these movies. And it's fantastic. And the guys that created it are... amazing character.
Well, I'll just give you like a little backstory in this movie. The writers conceived The Apple as a three-act Hebrew stage musical about God and the devil, but their vision was deemed too elaborate and costly to execute on stage. They showed it to Golan, who convinced him to turn it into an English language screenplay. Then they determined that that vision wouldn't work as a film. So they scrapped the story and 17 songs. Then Golan rewrote
lost
the script.
Songs.
He rewrote the script, added this landlady character who was not ever in this movie, and then just hired someone else to write the lyrics. So this is like a photocopy of a photocopy. They threw away the photocopy, wrote a new thing, and then photocopied that.
This movie makes Starlight Express look like Hamilton.
I do think this movie, there is an earnestness to this movie.
Oh, there were.
I don't feel like this is just some cynical, you know, just sort of like, we'll do some knockoff shit like some other shit we've
seen. I feel like they were trying to say a lot.
I remember there was some at the top of the IMDb trivia. There was when it opened in Cannes. People started booing and leaving halfway through, and Menachem Golan went back to his hotel room when he was about to jump out the window.
Yes.
Wow. When his business partner barged in and stopped him. So, and it's like, holy shit, this guy was serious. The whole, a laugh to him.
No, this is a big deal. This movie had a very mixed reception. They handed out soundtracks at one point to the audience, and at the end of the movie, they threw them at the screen and punctured the screen.
I get it. I would have. This movie is shockingly bad.
You can,
in a way, though, that you're right, is so sincere and is so serious. What they're trying to do, I can tell, is so serious, but it is so not getting there. It is such a disappointment. It falls so short.
It's serious in theme, but never goes deeper than surface, right? I feel like it's like...
Well, you missed it, so...
Yeah. I guess, right. Touche.
This is what the people pay for. You two, going at it.
Paul?
I've never heard the June chant in the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
This, that's a real victory right there. I would like to talk about the song Coming For You. It is my theory. Do you have this by any chance?
I sadly do not. A huge
misstep.
It is
my theory that this is the song and video that the grandfather was watching in the Star Wars holiday special. This is what inspired that pseudo-porn was this actual porn.
This was one of the most graphically disturbing songs that I had ever...
Sex production numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote down some of the lyrics. I want to drain every drop of your love. I'll take it deeper. I'll make it tighter. Coming just for you.
I like picturing you as a shrink reading back notes. Well, you did say.
And this, again, is a scene that features someone who has been drugged to make them pliable for sex.
What's interesting about this, too, is the next morning, I don't know if this is Pandy who's singing the song.
Yes. Yeah, Pandy is the male.
Oh, the oh, Dandy.
No, Dandy. It's Dandy. I think I Dandy mean, is the...
What is doing in this movie?
Pandy. Pandy is the girl, Grace Kennedy.
Is the girl. I'm sorry. Okay. My mistake.
So the next morning, Pandy comes to Bibi and says, you know, you have to go back and get Alfie. You have to. So...
He loves you.
He loves you. But here's what's interesting about Pandy's turn in the movie. It seems as though because Alfie wouldn't have sex with her, although I think they, I don't know.
They
what
definitely
was.
Had,
sure
sex.
Had sex.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Sorry.
June.
I wasn't sure.
She wanted to drain
like
every
that,
drop.
How do you like that, June? How do you like that?
But it seemed as though she was, I don't know how to put this, but she was either offended that he wasn't that into it or because he ran away at
That's
the end.
That's not, you know what? It could be that he wasn't able to perform.
Yes, something happens at the end of their lovemaking that, I'm sorry?
He says BB.
That's right. So man, with all
you guys
her
really
moves,
watched this.
We've all been
close.
There, right?
The best. I mean, they come with their BIM marks. They're not fucking Ooh. Around.
Please, you guys are going to leave tonight. Some of you are going to have sex with each other. When you come, say BB. Please, just do it. Just look into each other's eyes and say, oh, BB.
I want everyone just to post question. Pictures of them with these BIM marks, but make no reference to the BIM marks. I just
Please
wanted to take over.
In your BIM marks and say BB. Take pictures, put it online. Let's get weird, everybody.
Go to work with your BIM marks on.
But here's my question. Was Pandy working on her own here, or was she sent to do this by Mr. Boogaloo?
I think she was trying to seduce him for Mr. Boogaloo the way that not Roger Daltrey seduced BB.
Right, the way Dandy seduced BB. Yeah. Boogaloo was supposed to...
Right, but then she felt guilty about it and helped BB escape instead, so knowing that she would then suffer the consequences.
Yeah, she told Bulldog, the bodyguard...
To let him go,
Bulldog seemed like the most uncomfortable guy, just a bigger man and just like metal, like a loose-fitting metal top. Yeah.
And like... Look like big inserted teeth to make him look like a bulldog.
But here's the thing. Ugh. Pandy never suffered any consequences.
I thought she was going to be killed.
She wasn't. When they arrived at that forest, she was there just
yeah,
like
she
the
was
rest
there.
Of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pandy escaped? Oh, she was with them.
No, she just...
She was just there.
There also, too, is a little foreshadowing at the end of the first big party sequence when... BB goes off to her own room after, I think it's maybe after that Speed song.
Oh, I love
that
Speed song.
She goes off
to
her own room. Like, you know, Dandy tries to get her to party with
she's not into it.
Giant Kool-Aid vases filled with Kool-Aid. And then she goes to bed and he turns to Pandy and she takes the glasses with Kool-Aid and smart-ass drops them on the ground. So I think that was where we got a sense that she was a rebel.
Right.
But she was standing up to
Boogaloo. I also couldn't figure out, okay, when Alfie has been drugged and he bone zones Pandy, and then he's like, oh, I gotta get out of here. Then he gets into a room with BB and not Roger Daltrey. And she's like, who are you? Get out. Does that happen?
No, that was in his mind.
That was imaginary?
And why does he have these flashes? Like, why is he special? That he's able to see all that stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either. Why is he having like some sort of clairvoyance to be able to understand the earthquake and that this is the devil and the blah, blah, blah?
Right. Even a title card would help me get some of this.
Yeah.
Like
I think they were just trying to subtly say that he's Mormon. Because it comes very naturally to Mormon people.
Maybe you're right, yeah.
It could be.
So the Mormons take
Moose
the world.
Jaw. Probably not a stretch.
It sounds
the Mormon
Lutheran.
Parable.
Yeah.
It sounds Lutheran. Moose Jaw. I feel like Moose Jaw's right above Lake Wobegon.
I was going to say, yeah, it's Garrison Keillor's like, right. Breathing into his mic.
And well, Tom Vilquist was...
Pandy and Dandy. June, I want to...
All of our Garrison Keillors are flawless. I bet people listening right now thought like, oh, we showed up a Prairie Home Companion.
We kill the Prairie Home Companion
audience
here. June, I want to tell you something. I just been looking at the taglines of this movie, and here we go. It's 1994. The future is music, and music is the future. That's one tagline. But the other tagline is, the power of rock, the magic of space. So maybe it did take place in space after all.
Space Berlin, Space Germany, with like a very short monorail. A very short monorail and like a Soviet style buildings, and then like a hippie cave.
I think that actually this we wouldn't even be talking about this movie if it hadn't been made in Berlin. Like it is just soaked to the bone with German weirdness.
Oh yeah,
that just totally really makes so it stand true. Out. I think.
One more break, everybody, and we'll be right back. Oh, I love a smooth, silky undie, something that makes me feel special in my nethers. And when I want to feel special in my nethers, I wear me undies, okay? Here's the deal. Valentine's Day is coming up. Don't be predictable and show up with the same old fucking Whitman sampler and a couple of roses. What if you gave your loved one something that you'll actually benefit from? Cool as shit underwear, okay? It's a gift that everyone's talking about because you'll both get to love it. You'll both get to look at it. It feels great for them. It looks great for you, okay? And you treat yourself. Get a pair for you and your boo. You match in the bedroom. Look at that. How cool is that? Matching undies. And then you'll probably take those undies off and get down to business. It's Valentine's Day. But here's the deal. You want to talk about good fabric? MeUndies got it. They have that modal fabric, right? That's so good, so comfy as it gets, all right? It's, man, let me tell you this. You like cotton? We all like cotton. This is twice as soft as cotton. Bam! They don't just feel great, they look great too. They hold things in the right ways. So your butt and your junk looks good, okay? They got tons of cool prints. And you won't want to miss February's limited edition design from Keith Haring. This retro design is just inspired by love and making it a perfect Valentine's Day gift. So grab yourself a pair and celebrate the holiday with matching underwear with you and your sweetheart. MeUndies also has a keep it for free guarantee. If you don't fall in love with your first pair, keep them and you'll get your money back. No questions asked, okay? So this Valentine's Day, win it. Don't just give the same old shit. Go to MeUndies.com/bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get free shipping and 20% off your first order. Why not? Just do it, right? 20% off, free shipping. It's practically free. Don't wait till the last minute. Get matching pair of underwears as soon as you hear this. Order before February 4th in the U.S. to make sure your pair arrives in time for Valentine's Day. That's MeUndies/bonkers for free shipping and 20% off your first order of the world's most comfortable underwear. Okay, and we're back.
Well, let's go to the audience. Let's have them ask some questions. And if you're more interested in finding out about the Apple, you can read Blake Harris's article over on Slash Film. You can just check that out right now. He got in with a lot of the people from the film. So, raise your hand if you have a question.
When they have their child while you're walking over, Paul, when they have their child who's a year old, I guess.
Right.
Well,
that happens so fast.
So fast.
This is an example.
He's supposed to be 2 months old. And that child is enormous.
Yeah. That's another example of when I looked away
it's
for a minute.
Future.
I looked back and
yeah,
the guy
and they had a baby.
And they had a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
And for a second I was like, is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I think maybe hippie babies grow big underground.
Possibly.
It's the lack of light.
Hippie babies go big underground.
Where are BIM people? Let's talk to our BIM people first.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're
come on over
they're
here,
spreading.
BIM person. Your question, what would you call this movie? Your name, what would you call this movie, and your question. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Just the Mark of the BIM. I don't really know.
I like that. Mark of the BIM is good.
My question is, does anyone else think that this was actually filmed in an empty airport hangar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Apparently the audience really agreed with you.
Well, there's definitely, like I started to mention the dance sequence with Ballet 2000, and you can see, and the dancing in that particular scene I was noticing in shots, they weren't really moving much. And then you see, oh, they're like on convention center short carpet. Like they're having to do a big, like, it's like you can't do a dance number on convention center carpet.
You've always said that.
Yeah, I've always said that. I'm like, and you better accept that or you better get the hell out of this studio, honey.
By the way, I thought that was a performance by Ballet 2000, but then that wouldn't explain why Mr. Boogaloo is also performing with Ballet 2000 if he's about to sign them. Like, I was like, oh, because this is a movie that does that weird thing where there's music being performed and then there's musical numbers. And that's always confusing to me because it's like, is this in the mind or is this in a real musical performance? I didn't know if Ballet 2000 was performing or not.
I just say go with it, man.
All right, your name, your title of the movie, and your question.
Justin, title of the movie would be True Hollywood Stories, Alfie and BB.
Ooh, I like it.
And the question is more of like a comment, but going off of what June is saying, they do reference the fact that they need to transfer this to a different planet in that ending sequence with Mr. Topps and with Mr. Boogaloo or Bugaloo or whatever his name is, like about how they're going to have to go start over in a new planet without him. So maybe God learned his lesson with this incarnation?
So are we the new planet?
No, I think he's abandoning Earth to the devil.
Is it Earth?
Yeah.
Is it Earth?
We're on Earth.
That's Earth, yeah.
Prequel for After Earth.
Prequel for After Earth. You're going to get this cup. It says, Snow Dad is better than No Dad.
Yes!
All right, sir. Your name, your title for your movie, and your question.
My name is Tim. My title, Jesus Christ Superstar, the prequel. And did you guys notice how in this movie, unlike most movies, all of the women are dressed pretty like respectively and covered up, and all of the men were just naked for a lot of it. Like during the apple scene,
that
she's
is
like
true.
Wearing,
the women are wearing a lot of like big tunics and like things like silver metallic tunics and stuff, and the guys are pretty much Nudesville.
I didn't notice that, but yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, they're all like.
Remember the orgy?
Yeah,
the orgy. All the dudes are like straight up in like a couple of pieces of rope.
Yeah,
they're all and the women are all covered up. Like during the snake, he likes to show you what his dick looks like the entire film. During the apples, like where she bites the apple, she's wearing a dress, and like at the guy who's Adam is like in a thong. Like it's bizarre.
Isn't she more provocatively dressed? And then Mr. Boogaloo is like pink, and she's wearing a more modest dress. Oh. Yeah,
it's the future.
Yeah.
Hmm? It's the future, and I look forward to it.
Wow.
I look forward to
it. Wow.
I always appreciate people with handwritten notes. You have a lot of handwritten notes here.
Yes.
Okay, your name, your title, your question.
Name is Alexis. I got a real, like, Tommy vibe, and the Roger Daltrey thing was totally on point. So, Bimball Wizard.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Bimball is in the movie. Ashley, the marketing guru, does create Bimball.
There's also a Bim Burger.
Ooh, Bim Burger, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm going to say
Bim Benders, the director.
I've been hit with microphones. So.
All right, your question.
I wanted to bring up, I'm a former journalist, and so I really related to Joe Pittman.
Oh, I wrote that about, I want to talk about Joe Pittman so much.
I forgot about him.
Remember that name.
Exactly.
Joe Pittman.
The intrepid reporter from the Daily Post. And I actually was wondering if you guys could sort of unpack how this movie may have been fairly prescient about the crisis that newspaper reporters were going to go through.
Are you saying that Mr. Boogaloo is Rupert Murdoch?
Rupert Murdoch, exactly. Exactly.
I like where you're going, Alexis. I like where you're going.
I actually like Joe Pittman because Joe Pittman reminded me of Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight. He's like really kind of meek but asking the hard questions. He's like, Mr. Boogaloo, I just think
Mr. Boogaloo, people are saying you might be the devil. I don't know.
Stay right here. I'm going to get you a special prize. Yeah, is that Rupert Murdoch? I guess, I mean, maybe it could be.
That the guy that played that, too, I noticed, because I saw that the lyrics were written by George Clinton, and I was like, no fucking way is that George Clinton writing some of these lyrics. And then I looked at, I just cross-referenced it somewhere, and it was George S. Clinton who played that guy. That guy... that played that reporter was the lyricist.
Oh,
for
wow.
The whole,
yeah, yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
He's George S.
Sure, I'll write you songs. I just want to be
started,
in it.
He was scoring previous Golden Globus ninja movies, and that's how he got
I love
him.
The canon films, the canon of canon films. I mean, Golan directed 46 movies, I believe, like yeah. Over the Top being one of them, and I think every movie that they made, he pretty much directed, or 46 is a lot, and probably none of them made over $134,000. Yes, your name, your title, your movie, and your question.
Hi, my name's Andrew. I guess, dude, where's my bib?
Ooh,
I would have gone, Bim, where's my car?
Bim, where's my car?
My question is around accents.
Okay.
Were they a director's choice? Because everyone had a different accent. Everyone had a different accent.
You have an accent.
Well,
I do.
You do have an accent.
I'm glad you said it,
right? So, oh, surprise, surprise, you want to talk about accents. Hey, no narcissists at our shows. Your question is, can we talk about me for a minute? You're the worst.
I will say Alfie's accent came and went. Yeah. It was here.
Wait, he was putting
there.
It on?
I'm sorry.
No, he was. No, do you think he was putting it on?
No, I don't.
He's Scottish. He is. He's Scottish. Yeah, yeah. So I think he just was watering down a Scottish accent. No, because that guy, was like, or maybe I'm thinking of Pandy.
He's from the Boondocks.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, I'm from the Boondocks.
No, that's what they said about him.
Yeah.
Well, the Boondocks.
Guys,
well,
don't fight. You no, remember, you love each other.
Is anyone from the Boondocks that can talk to us?
Wait, he was on the TV show The Boondocks? I'm just going to make this even more complicated. The accents were terrible. Weird kind of European Frenchy kind of Mr. Boogaloo is clearly French, right? And he speaks Italian and German as well.
The devil has a many-faceted tongue.
Right, but I feel like his resting accent was Frenchy, right?
Yes, I had a hard time understanding
him. He's Polish.
Is he?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, your question. Your name of the movie and your question.
Christine, LeMay all day. And I had a revelation earlier when I thought about Bibi doing her speed video, she reminded me so much of Kesha from the bad hair and the eye makeup.
Oh, and the metallic triangles,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Do you think Kesha ripped off this movie?
Wow.
That would be amazing. We need to take Kesha to task.
Yeah.
Is Kesha here?
See, I would say,
Hashtag Kesha, we know what you did.
I would say cut Kesha some slack.
I would say I'm appreciative of Kesha more than I ever thought now. She's going into the Apple to kind of pull out
I
her
loved
stuff.
That speed one, that speed video I thought was amazing.
That's the best song
that's
in
the
movie.
I was going to say, that's the best, yeah, just pure song. I would legit listen to that song, like, while running for my life.
Right. Well, and it works so great, too, because it's, well, what's the song about? Speed.
Yeah.
Well, is it about anything else? America? Just those two things? Yeah, just those two things. Oh, all right. Sounds good.
So that makes it a much more complex song than all the others, awesome. Which are about one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That one of them is coming.
Right. Hey.
Here comes the BIM.
No, BIM's on its way.
BIM's on its way, sorry.
BIM's on the way.
BIM's
I don't
on
know,
the way?
To do what?
Maybe it's like Apple.
Crush
like
out
Apple?
All individuality?
I mean, it could be like a Steve Jobs thing, too. Like, we're all so into that. We logo ourselves.
In 1979?
Yeah.
All right.
A time traveler came back to warn us of our future.
That line barely made it to the stage. You cast it so weakly.
And yes, sir, your name, your question. your name, your title, and your question.
I'm David. My title would be Escalator to Heaven. And was I the only one that noticed all their vehicles, how much they look like the car that Homer Simpson designed?
Another cultural ripoff. Simpsons ripped off the Apple.
I don't put that above the writers of The Simpsons to have an homage to the Apple in there. I feel like they do a lot of stuff like that. All right. Oh, sir, with a notebook up. I'll take a notebook, sir. All right, sir.
Ooh, I hope it's the notebook from the movie.
Your name, your title, and your question.
My name's Jason.
Yeah! That guy gets it. How you doing?
Doing good.
I haven't seen you at any of the meetings.
My title.
All right. Okay, you're going to blow me off? Dick move, bro. Now I know why you haven't been invited.
My title would be The Crapple.
Ooh.
And I was just wondering, which do you think is a better workout? The BIM Hour or the Jamie Lee Curtis Sports Connection workout from Perfect?
They're very similar.
Oh!
They're very similar. They have a lot of, I mean, I would almost say they're identical, really.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis, that, you know, that whole thrusting thing is really, this is just a lot of like raising of the arms and kicking of the legs. Yeah.
I would say this is more cardiovascularly sound than the Jamie Lee Curtis one.
Really?
I
think this, a lot of these songs, I think, have their roots in just children's German work marches.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're very simple. They're meant to be, you know.
Yep. Like when
going
people
off
start
to the
doing
woods
it.
For light manufacturing. Yeah.
That's what the people in the Coke factory
are doing. I'm working
the
machine.
Like, I don't think anybody's getting in shape during the BIM hour.
It is an hour of dancing. You are getting... It's an hour of dancing.
Perhaps. All right. I mean, let's see. Let's agree. Half of you go on the Jamie Lee Curtis workout. Half of you guys go on the app, the BIM hour. And we'll come back in a month. And we'll see how we did.
Look, all I know is that I didn't see many BIM devotees overweight in the movie.
It's interesting. Yeah, the landlady was a little bit overweight, and she was not wearing a BIM mark.
I still can't believe it's Professor Sprout. I am so mad at myself.
All right, sir, your name, your title, and your question. Come to me. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Charles. My name would be, you can't understand what I'm saying, but don't worry because you'll forget it instantly because there's no melody.
It's a very long title, like the Birdman title.
My question is, do you think that there was a production meeting where they said, hey,
no.
Who has...
Do you think there was a production meeting? Question mark should be it.
Fair
and
enough,
the answer, no.
Do you think there was a meeting where they said, hey, what have you seen and what are you going to see? Because we have the cars from Ghostbusters. We have half the people dressed in X-Wing fighter jumpsuits. And we have... the 1984 themes, and we have the Star Wars cantina scene when they go to the lobby. They show the close-up of the clown. It's like the cantina scene where, like, there's all the freaks just...
You're saying there's no defining link to any of these wardrobes.
They seem to take from everything.
How about when the tall guy becomes the small guy? Remember when that happened?
No, what do you...
Wait, I don't remember that.
This is during the lobby of BIM Industries. Like, there's a tall guy walking around, and then he goes behind a thing, and a little guy comes out, and it's like, what? Why are there clowns? That, to me, also, though, says something very powerful, which is clowns are agents of the devil.
Well, we know you have an issue with clowns.
Well, I'm thinking that there were other departments at BIM.
Yeah.
Like a circus
clowning. Clowning, yeah.
And large
music. We're the largest music and clowning conglomerate in the world.
And also large fruit manufacturing.
Who has a really good question? Who thinks they have a really good question? Oh my gosh.
I need these apples bigger.
Notes. See notes. I'll go
they
to a
They make
notes.
Large pieces of fruit and vegetables for trade shows, etc.
On the roof is our giant orchard.
And Paul, quick question for you. When you were watching the movie, were you ever thinking back on the title and wondering?
Did you think? Wait. Ooh. I have a question. Wow.
June's really slamming me. Yeah.
Paul, did you think the movie took place in New York because it was the Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are really good questions. I'm gonna say when I saw the Apple, I was impressed with the size of the Apple.
The whole week, we're watching the Apple. We're watching the Apple. The Apple's on Amazon. Got to watch the Apple.
I was saying it like that.
This is a real window into your lives.
June,
wake up! Wake up! Don't forget, we're watching the Apple.
I heard the phrase "the apple" so many times.
It sounds like you have a child running the apple, the apple, the apple.
I wasn't saying the apple. I was not running around the house proclaiming the apple is on Amazon.
Hey,
the apple.
Hey, June. I'm at the supermarket.
I definitely think I thought the apple. I
I'm so happy.
I got more. I think I was just seeing it at face value, which is like. I got the idea that the devil was like bite into this apple, but I didn't see someone telling him not to do it.
I still am cutting you some slack
because
it's such a sloppy execution of the Adam and Eve Garden of Eden metaphor because there's no fucking heaven to start. You know, there's no Eden to start out with.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't see anything before.
We just go right to the snake's already won. You know.
All right, your name, your title of the movie, and your question.
My name is Kathleen. The title, I have no idea, like Apple Dew or something.
Apple Dew?
Apple Dew. Like Xanadu? Yeah.
All right, great. With apples.
Okay, so at the end, like Mr. Tops comes and he's like, okay, I'm leaving this place. And so arguably it becomes like hell on earth because the devil's there. But like the landlady mom tit lady, she didn't make it to the hippie refugee camp. So, like, arguably all these pretty nice people are just left on hell on earth because they didn't make it to the Cadillac in the sky.
Yep.
And what happened?
So what's your point?
Yep. Fuck them, bro. Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a really dark ending of the movie that I didn't think about. There's millions of
God
people.
God abandons earth. With max 30 people. Yeah.
Max.
And it's like...
That's what the apocalypse will be just as lazy. And just as half-assed.
That's what the leftovers was. It's just 30 people disappear. And everybody's like, are you serious? I think we are super fucked.
And arguably, like those 30 people you wouldn't really miss because they were just like weirdo hippies. They had nothing to bring.
Although our terrible jam band music festivals would be empty.
You fucking idiots.
We've talked about the end a lot, but I figure let's hear a little bit of Mr. Tops and the Devil talking.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a great scene. Right here. The God is Mr. Tops, is coming from his golden Cadillac in the sky. And we'll just hear a little bit of this. Slowly walking with no... And then appears.
Who the hell are you?
They call me Mr. Tops.
Sergeant, arrest that man.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I can't move my legs. I'm paralyzed.
Come and join us. All of you.
The devil seems powerless here. They all just walk away.
The car drives away without anybody in it.
It's like I'm leading the way.
Oh, is that it? Okay, that makes sense.
Carson, follow me.
Got it. Okay, I get it.
Tops, wait a minute. Where do you think you're taking them?
I don't know yet. I'm looking for a new place.
A new planet?
If I can find one free from your pollution.
Don't tell me you're going to start all over again.
Yes. this time without you.
Without me? But my dear Tops, you know that is impossible. The world simply cannot exist without me.
Let's give it a try.
And then Mr. Tops walks away. And I will say that I think that the takeaway I got from this movie was that disco is really bad.
Yes!
I mean, that's really what that's the whole
really,
movie.
Really, Paul?
That's what I walked away with. Disco is bad. I also thought when he came down, he said, "My name is Mr. Tibbs," which I thought was like maybe a reference to...
They call me Mr. Tibbs. That would be amazing if a white character came down and said, "They call me Mr. Tibbs." Although, I will say, I did have a little bit of a problem when all of the black characters were singing about the devil, he knows how to be a master.
Oh yeah, that was tricky.
Oh, I had some real problems with that.
Yeah, yeah. I checked out for that. That was like, I don't like this part.
I don't care for this.
I'm on board with everything else, but this part, no.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. Now, last time we did a live show, I asked if someone here has composed a song that can sing it. I will give you that chance.
Cowards. You cowards.
All right. Well, then if you all want to make up your own lyrics to it right now, I'll count to three. And all of you guys try to sing it once. Here we go. One, two, three. Great.
You guys start strong, and then it just goes to shit.
They could have just sang the BIM song, really, and just say second opinion, second opinions. All right, here we go. These are 5-star reviews, culled from Amazon. This is by Cindy Wegman. The movie, I don't understand it personally, but my husband loves it. The music is wonderful, and I would like to get that CD for myself personally. 5 stars.
Personally.
Hey, baby, you on Amazon right now? Oh, cool. Will you just write a review for the Apple and tell them I love it?
I don't get it, but I love the CD.
I just like to see my husband happy. Finally, he's had a tough year. Shingles, you know. Anyway, I don't get it.
This is written by CPA. CPA wrote this. I have been trying to get a hold of this movie for years. I was one of the dancers, and it was a really funny experience to make. And we could all not stop laughing at the rushes. It was an Israeli film crew, a British cast, and filmed in Berlin. I can't wait to see it again and do the BIM. I always thought it would be a cult movie. 5 stars. Seems like she's waiting for it to become. And now, finally, this one, I think, I mean, it's obviously written in jest, but it's so well written, I wanted to read it. From Tim Edstrom. The Apple is a merciless depiction of Neo-Eden, flawless in its presentation. Brilliant Israeli director Golan is the master of his craft. What's the scientist?
Copernicus?
Copernicus, yes. When Copernicus first asserted that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe, he attained immediate pariah status. Yet time proved that he was correct and a brilliant visionary. Those who disparage this starkly beautiful film are those who disparaged Copernicus so many years ago. Witness and myopic in their worldview, Golan has created a world that is uncanny in its resonance to today's post-Clintonian United States.
Whoa!
Where corporations choose what musics will enjoy, and where police officers break into dance, a subversive symbol of the racial injustice that is today's police force. Dancing nuns.
Oh, these dancing cops.
Nostradamus would be proud that Golan could foresee way back in 1980 the dance around the facts of child molestation within the Catholic Church. This is truly a tour de force of film verite in its own brilliant, pitless way. The Apple evokes our own age in its quest for glitter and success. The Apple does not moralize over the fate of the beautiful Mr. Bugalo, who loves so unwisely, although his last song is thoroughly chilling, commenting on his life and the world in which he lived in 1980.
Wow.
5 stars.
That is concerning. So as the people who are criticizing Copernicus, does that make us the church?
Yeah, that's it.
Amazing.
Guys, and so I just want to be clear on one thing. This is kind of an Adam and Eve thing, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Just want to make sure.
Kind of.
Anything that we hadn't talked about that anyone wants to bring up?
Oh, I'm sure there's stuff we're forgetting. I just can't remember. But yeah, no, we're good.
All right. I feel like we definitely covered a lot of it. Let's get into plugs. What do we want to plug here? Andy, anything you'd like to plug?
No.
Jason?
Not really.
June?
Nah.
Well, just follow us on Twitter at HDTGM. Please wear your BIMs out there. Take pictures. Tag yourself.
And
put it
remember,
on our Facebook page.
Call each other BB while you fuck.
A big thank you to Nate Kiley, who did all our research. Avril Halley, who pulled all of our clips. July up in the booth. Everybody here at Largo. Thank you guys so much. We'll let you take pictures now. Here we go. A big thank you to our amazing guests. A big thank you to the Largo Theater and Flanny, who runs the Largo Theater. If you're ever in LA, go check out largola.com. They have amazing shows. Adam Sandler just performed there, and he fucking killed it. Check out everybody at Earwolf and Hal. They have some great shows going on. Also, want a big thanks to July Diaz, who does the work out in the field with us, recording these live episodes, listening to these episodes. A big shout out to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. She's the best, and I probably mispronounce her name like 50% of the time. Nate Kiley, who just kills it. Love Nate. Awesome. Doing the research. And make sure you head on over to slashfilm.com to read the oral history of the Apple. This one is a good one. And finally, last but not least, go check out our Facebook and Twitter pages because we have fan art designed by Leanna Waldron and by you guys. And we also announce stuff that no one else knows. So, with all that being said, we'll see you next time.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey guys! It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad. Oh, no, Nicole. Nicole.
I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet. Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God, two.
It!